Yes, tonight we will have Sound Off Open Lines.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Open lines for the next couple hours, and we do take your text questions as well. I cannot think of a better time than to play that clip that we just heard from Howard Beale in the movie Network, played by the late Peter Finch. I don't remember ever a time where that clip was so necessary, so vital to where we are today. And it's amazing. That thing was done years ago, and yet it is still right on. Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to James in Richmond, Virginia to get things started. Hey, James, good morning to you.
Morning, George. How are you?
Good. Hope you are, too.
I'm fine. The lady that was on there.
Catherine.
I don't know if you can give her a message or not. I think she said Jesus Christ went straight to John on the Isle of Patmos and gave her the information. It's actually, when it starts in Revelation, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant.
The angel did it. The angel was the messenger.
Jesus' personal angel, apparently, yeah. And then the only reason I mention that is because in chapter 22, at the end of the Bible, it warns you not to change anything at all, and there add to it or subtract it, and all kinds of warnings about bad things that can happen to a person or something.
Yeah.
There's a lot, you know.
Do you think we're in end times now?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Now,
are you familiar with the halo over the football stadium?
Yes.
Okay, and are you familiar, with the Tim Tebow?
Tell me, I know about Tim Tebow, but what specifically?
Well, 4 years ago, January 8th, there was when he played Pittsburgh. Denver played Pittsburgh in Denver. There was a halo over the stadium.
Right.
The first field goal, and that's filmed live on the YouTube. The Tebow and Halo. The opening kickoff was a miracle opening kickoff, and that's how it's on the YouTube because it went over to Steelers' heads, hit the goalpost, ricocheted back over their heads, going back toward the kicker. Never saw that before. not only did it ricochet off, but it actually went to the 20-yard line. It went 30 yards from hitting the goalpost. Put itself more perfectly on the 20-yard line, side to side. The ref had to turn it like that.
Well, and that's still a free ball, too, on a kickoff, isn't it?
Well, not if it hits the goalpost and ricochets back, but the point of it is it went 30 yards backwards and put itself on the 20 where you put it on a touchback to start the game.
Yeah.
No human being touched it. And the last play of the game was one play in overtime, an 80-yard pass to Demaryius Thomas, Tebow to Thomas. Thomas was born on Christmas, 12/25/1987. You have the beginning play, miracle opening kickoff on the YouTube. You have the ending play, Demaryius Thomas born on Christmas. You have a halo in the middle of the game. You have all the 3:16s that showed up because he was known for John 3:16. Actually, on January 8th, exactly 3 years before that game, he beat Oklahoma in the BCS championship. He had John 3:16 under his eye patches. So this is exactly 3 years, January 8th again, later, like Christ rose on the third day. Well, this is 3 years later. And 3 years later, he came up with 3:16 passing, 31.6 average per catch. I believe it's the longest in longest in a playoff game in history, I believe, is that average. Also, the people watching in overtime was 31.6% of the households.
God, do you know your numbers or what?
Well, I've told a lot of people this. 31.6. Can you imagine the households? 31.6 was the highest rating CBS got for the game. Steelers had the ball, time of possession, 31 minutes and 6 seconds. You take out the zero amount of number, you got Jones.
Well, now let me ask you this. With all these numbers, what does that mean?
Well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's about the most Christian verse in the Bible. And when Tebow played that game with the miracle opening kickoff, the halo, and the ending play, Thomas, the Mary Thomas born on Christmas, all the 3:16s that had what happened in the game, even third down and 16 was the only turnover in the game, third down and 16. There were so many 3:16s that Wikipedia wrote it up as a blessed game and didn't even know there was a halo.
Well, and there are no coincidences, so I guess you think end times is underway. Gosh. But they say it's supposed to be a good thing eventually. It's going to be rough along the way, though. Let me take another call, then we'll go to Tom with his text question. Stu in the Pocono Mountains out there in Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hey, Stu.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Okay.
Well, look, I'm listening to you folks out there. Where are you, California?
I'm in L.A. right now, yeah.
L.A., wow. Well, it's been a while. I was out there.
Back to St. Louis in another 3 weeks because I've got an event in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, well, how about that?
Now, what's new with you? What's going on?
Well, paying attention to what Kathy's saying and you're saying, and anybody that can, let's say, read the weather or look at world politics, see exactly how this ties in a parallel line with the Bible. As a young kid, young boy, I paid attention, and I never thought I'd see the euro market come together. I never thought that I'd see our Second Amendment and our Constitution being burned in this country. Never thought I'd see the psyops being played out that are going on. For instance, the UN, they have a statue inside the UN that is of Satan. And that revolver out in front of the UN is a civilian weapon, which is tied in a knot, which is telling the public unconsciously what they intend to do.
That's a little symbolism there.
The symbol inside is a block that represents Satan.
Did you grow up? You grew up in the 60s, right?
I was born in 59.
All right, 59. So, you know, you're a little too young, but those were rough times. I mean, assassinations, the Vietnam War.
I remember all of it.
It was horrible.
I remember actually my mother crying when Kennedy was killed.
Yeah. But I mean, now it seems like we're getting even worse than that time period.
Oh, we are, without a doubt.
I can feel it.
It's getting down to evil against good.
Another Kansas City police officer was killed. That's a couple in Kansas City since May, but I mean, look at all of them. I mean, this is like the police killing of the week.
Well, and this is being done just like a chessboard and monopoly board. You have certain people, Soros, Rockefellers, and so on, the world elite, CFR, which are putting the pawns against each other. And by doing that, they're creating chaos, and through chaos, they gain control.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Any police officers out there, give us a call, if you would. I know a lot of you listen when you're on duty, but if you're just there in your car and you got a second, give us a call. I just want to chat with you about things that you folks are going through right now. Tom, you've got a text for us. What do you have back there?
We sure do, from Sandy in Ohio. George, I was listening to your last guest, and I don't get it. Why is it such a big deal if certain companies track our spending habits, for example? Are we all that paranoid?
Yeah, I think we are. I think there's just too much privacy being given. I think Catherine's right. There's just too much information being given away, because If they track you there, they're going to take other stuff. They're going to get your medical records. They're going to get everything. You got to be careful.
She is right. But on the other side of the coin, though, do you really care if you buy 10 rolls of candy bars?
I know, but I think that's going to lead to something else. And they're going to find out if you bought 10 rounds of ammunition and things like that.
Kind of like the gateway to something worse.
You
got to
be careful. I'm going to give out this special topic line, Tom, just for police officers.
Okey-doke.
and that is going to be 818-817-0021. Okay, folks?
We're waiting.
Special topic line. Just for police officers, 818-817-0021. Just want to chat with you folks. Let's take a few more calls and a break. Mike in Cleveland. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's great. I had family on rooftops down in Cleveland today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, they were getting a little hot. You know, it was pretty hot out.
Weather's hot. It was hot in L.A. today, too.
Yeah. You know, what I wanted to talk to you about was, you know, last week you had that astrologer on, and he talked about something real funny for 2020, maybe for the presidential candidate.
Yes.
Something nuclear. Well, I thought about it. You know, the Japanese government, I don't feel they're forthcoming with everything that's happening in Fukushima. And the Olympics are going to start in 2020 in Tokyo. Now, what happens if all this scientific evidence that is going to maybe be forthcoming with all the studies they're doing out on the West Coast, that their radiation migrates over to the United States? What if we make a statement like boycott the Olympics, or maybe some athletes do that? Maybe that's what that prediction could be about.
Yeah, it could be. And there's no question we have been getting radiation from Fukushima. It's come over like a
Watergate for the next president.
I'm more concerned about the Zika virus in Brazil.
Oh, they said it just came in Florida now. A person contracted in Florida that did not travel.
That did not travel.
They said it on Fox News.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, you guys got to take care. It's hot on L.A. I'm going to move to Patagonia.
I'm not sure we can move any place, to tell you the truth. Mike, thanks. Glad so far things are safe in Cleveland. Get this convention underway, and then it's on to Philadelphia next week for the Democratic nomination, which, of course, I'm pretty sure Hillary will sew that up, and then the games are underfoot. Let's go to Carla in the Queens in New York on the wildcard line. Hey, Carla, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I would like to just, well, you know, your discussions are so great, I could keep up with all of them, but I called up about the demonologist, you know, the one...
That I had on last night.
Yeah, the exorcism, I firmly believe this. In fact, I know I could prove this from the Bible. One does not need a cross. You don't need holy water. What you need is the anointing. Because Paul, when he was expelling the demons from people, which doesn't mean, it can mean even addictions is a demonic hold, you know. So when he was healing the sick and expelling demons, whether it was full possession or, you know, strongholds, others wanted to do it. And the demon got nasty with somebody and said, well, Paul, we know, but we don't know. Who are you? You see, when Jesus was imparting, that comes with the anointing, which people don't talk much about. They all talk about, they're born again and they're saved, but do they understand what that means? You have to be born again, but you need to get that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's the impartation of the Holy Spirit that actually takes possession in you, because Jesus gave a parable. He said, when an evil spirit leaves a man, okay, he wanders about and looking for someplace else to go, another house, because our vessels are houses. You, your soul, your spirit, and somebody else is in there with you, the Lord or somebody else. So anyway... He says, and when the spirit cannot find a place to rest, he returns to his former home, and he finds it swept, and it's clean. So he goes out and gets seven more demons, worse than himself, and they all go in, okay? So this, Jesus is telling you something very important here, that if you come and you get forgiven, or you cleanse yourself through repentance, but you're not... committed to obey. So see, you got to pick up your cross and obey and submit your carnal nature, then you don't get the anointing, and the Holy Spirit cannot indwell in your vessel unless you are fully submitted.
Bottom line is, though, the demons can come through at any time they want, and that you have to be careful about. Josh is a St. Louis police officer. Let's go to Josh. Hey, Josh, have we ever met? Have you given me a ticket? Anything like that?
No.
That's good.
Never have. I wish I would have told you I ever met you.
That's good. Are you in the city or out there in the county?
Well, I'm in between, actually. I ain't going to get my department because they think I'm crazy calling.
No, well, we won't give that away. But my gosh, I mean, first of all, thank you for what you do.
Oh, no problem.
We appreciate that. And I mean, are you folks feeling the tension out there on the streets?
Yes. Every time I do a traffic stop, I got to wonder about, is this person going to get mad at me for no reason and, you know, turn around and shoot at me or pull off and try to run me over?
Yeah.
It's a whole bunch.
I mean,
lately, since everything's been going on worse, fellow officers getting shot, it's stressful.
Oh, it is. And do you wear a bulletproof vest, I hope?
Oh, every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
You know,
right now, it's mandatory.
I was in St. Louis during the Ferguson situation. And,
yeah.
You know, I am convinced that the police officer, Wilson, did not wake up in the morning and say, gosh, I want to shoot somebody. And
I don't think so either.
And, you know, the prosecutor exonerated him and everything else. Why in the world would somebody, some kid, try to grab a police officer's gun and expect nothing to happen? I mean, can you get any dumber than that?
Well, if somebody tries to grab my gun, I'm thinking they're going to kill me.
That's exactly right. And you have no choice but to defend yourself.
Oh, most definitely. But so they train us, you know. They try taking your weapon, their intent is not good.
Are the people who are upset with some of the police shootings, is there any justification there in terms of some overzealous cops out there?
I think there is some crazy ones out there that, you know, how they bullied back in the day as a kid. And they said, when I get old enough, I'm going to become a cop if I have this authority.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's some out there like that, most definitely.
Yeah, and those are the ones you have to watch.
I grew up in a bad neighborhood, and I was like, I'm going to become a cop so I can make sure my neighborhood ain't like this no more.
Yeah, I mean, the case in Minnesota where the officer shot the guy in the car, he was with his girlfriend and there was a baby in the back seat. I think he probably panicked, but I think the guy looked like he was reaching for his gun.
Well, you got to think about it. If you reaching for something in a pocket, you don't know what's there.
No.
You don't know if they're going to pull out anything. And then he announced he had a weapon, so off top, he's going to grab his weapon.
Well, and I got a guess for you folks. The worst thing is pulling somebody over at night. You can't see anything.
Oh yeah. Like right now, I'm working right now. I'm sitting at this corner of this church just making sure nobody ain't going to do nothing crazy.
Are you now questioning stopping people where you normally would have stopped them? Let's say somebody goes through a stop sign. In the old days, maybe a few years ago, you would have just stopped them. Maybe you give them a ticket, maybe just a warning and say, hey, watch it. Now, would you just let him go through?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
It's got to be pretty big these days. Hey, Josh, be safe out there, okay?
Always, man.
Okay, be well. St. Louis police officer in an area out there. We're not going to talk about his specific jurisdiction. I'm going to come back in just a moment with more open lines. We've got that for you for the next hour and a half. Don't forget, we'll do some open lines on Friday, but that's a different kind of a twist, isn't it? It's Friday night then. But these are a little more just a piece of life, I guess. Okay, welcome back to Coast. We're going to go to our police hotline right now. Al in Pennsylvania is with us. Hello there, officer. How are you?
Good morning, George. God love you. I love your show. And long-time listener, first time ever talking to you. And out to my shout-out to all my brothers and sisters in blue. God bless you all. We are the children of God. That's why we are the peacemakers.
Absolutely.
The Bible.
And,
anyway, George, one quick thing.
Sure.
I remember you telling a story one night about you tried to shave your mustache once and you butchered it all up and you shaved it off and nobody knew who you were.
Yep.
Well, that happened to me. My wife bought me some newfangled mustache trimmer for Christmas and I butchered it all up and I shaved my mustache. My kids cried. I mean, they were 3 and 6. No, you're not daddy anymore. You know, who are you?
Who are you?
Throw it back. Oh, it was hilarious. But anyway, I've been involved in law enforcement for 37 years, starting in the United States Army as a military policeman, back when it was still called the 95 Bravo 20 designator
in
the 70s.
Yep.
I got out of the Army. I was a game warden for a while, so that's law enforcement. I felt I could do a little bit more, and I then went to work for a municipal police department, of which I did 25 years. And retired. Here in Pennsylvania, they kind of have a shackle because of our legislature. You have to do 25 years unless you're a city of the first class. So I had to do my 25, and now I'm still doing it. I retired from the police department, and I'm now a college police officer for a small college here in Pennsylvania.
Well, so. you folks, you know, I love all you guys and you gals out there who are doing what you're doing. It is the most tense time to be a police officer. Al, I don't get it, where these shooters have got to know this is a one-way trip for them. They're not coming out of it.
A new mindset of these, and I have to say kids, because I'm 61 now, so yeah. It's a whole new mindset. They think it's video games. They're out there playing video games, and okay, if they get shot, poof, they start, game's not over, you just hit restart.
Yeah.
I'm convinced this got into their heads, and they think it's like, yeah, I'm sitting at home playing Xbox. I'm just going to load this, this AKS and go shoot some.
Yeah, no, you're right. They think they're infallible.
Absolutely, and I don't know where the hatred comes from. It's just a whole different society. I mean, God, when I was growing up in Philadelphia, if a Philly cop drove past and looked at you twice, you were scared to death. You ran home and hid thinking, and you couldn't have done nothing wrong. You know, you just came out of church on Sunday morning and a cop looks at you, you're scared to death. But now, I've had kids as young as 7 years old grab their crotch and flip me the salute with one finger and call me everything but,
No respect.
Like, really? Young man, how old are you? Well, I'm 7 years old. And that has to be learned.
Well, and it's beyond race. I have seen black officers getting harassed by African Americans in the inner city. There's no respect for police officers, regardless of what color you folks might be.
And no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard we tried, 25 years on the street, right away, you're the bad guy. No matter what happens, you are the bad guy, and you just have to get over that. I mean, I just wanted to do my job. The outcome isn't always the way you wanted it to be, and God bless these guys that are involved in officer-involved shootings. That's the last thing they want to do.
That's right.
That's the last thing they want to do is pull their gun and either shoot somebody and injure them or take a life. I was fortunate. I came close a couple times, but it never came to the end result. But these people just have it all twisted in the mainstream. Media is not helping things. A little known fact, the Sandy Hook shooting. It was the big blow-up. It was an AR-15 that he used. That gun never was out of the trunk of his car. He did all those shootings with handguns. But right away, the AR-15 is the weapon that they said he used. Yeah, he had access. He had it. But he never used it, and that never made the mainstream media, which really upsets me.
How do we turn this around? How does this change? Because I think social media has played its part, too, in getting these young people riled up.
George, if I had that answer, I could probably write my own check how to get this stopped or at least stem the tide. But I'm afraid it's only going to get worse before it gets better. And I love my brothers and sisters in the badge, and please, for all you guys and gals out there listening, we're family. We all bleed the same color, and it's like something, I forget who said it. I think it was, I can't remember his name, but he said, when a policeman dies or when a policeman is killed, the family doesn't lose, the country loses, because when a policeman dies, a piece of America dies.
That's right. That is so true.
I think it was John Cameron Swayze.
That's a long time ago.
Who made that. And that was then. I have no idea what the answer is. Like I said, if I had that answer.
Or it might have been Paul Harvey.
It might have been.
Yeah,
I believe it was Paul Harvey. Thank you. But, I have no idea what the answer is. All I can say is, my brothers and sisters, please be safe. take the extra precautions if you have to, and I wear a T-shirt every once in a while. It says I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6.
Well, and I'm at a point now where I would just recommend to them, if you don't have to stop the person, let them go. You know, you don't.
Yeah,
don't,
but on the other hand, our hand is forced.
Yeah, no, I know. I know that. I know that. But you know, if you normally would stop somebody because he's going 10 over the limit, let him go. It's not worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. But then, you know, then there's the other situations where, like Mayor Giuliani said at the RNC, you know, policemen don't care what color you are. They're going to come save you no matter what.
That's exactly right. That is true.
And, you know, the same to the fire service. You know, God love my, you know, I'm the son of a Philadelphia fireman. You know, Dad did his time. And,
oh, gosh, I bet he had some stories in his day.
Huh? Oh, yeah, that's back in the days, you know, when they still wore the old tin senator helmets.
Go down the pole and off he goes.
Yeah, from 1948 till 68 is when Dad was in the Philadelphia Fire Department. But that was then, this is now, and I don't know what the future holds, George. I can just hope, you know.
Well, you keep doing what you're doing, Al.
You know, that all policemen do go to heaven because we've done our time in hell.
Yeah, you sure have. All right, thank you, Al, for calling.
Thanks, man. Hey, appreciate God bless you and my brothers and sisters in the badge. Please, please be safe and go home every night.
Absolutely. Let's go next to Jim in Delaware. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. I wanted to mention something that Catherine never mentions is the image of the beast. But first, I want to say my father was a police officer on the east side of Wilmington, Delaware, from 1942 to the 60s.
Wow.
And he used to tell me, when I put on that uniform and that badge, I was a marked man. That is more true today.
It sure is.
Man.
You got that uniform on, they can see you before you can see them.
Right. Anyway, it talks about the image of the beast and what she mentioned, Revelation 13. And I never hear ministers mention what they think the image of the beast is.
That's an interesting question. What do you think it looks like?
I think the image of the beast, I think AI is going to prove to be the image of the beast.
Some computer somewhere?
Artificial intelligence.
Well, you might be right.
Yeah, I used to think it was the internet.
I wonder if they can program a computer to make a picture of what the beast might look like based
beast,
on stuff. I bet it would be horrible.
I was taught that Revelation 13 has two beasts. The first one was the Antichrist, and another beast is the false prophet of the Antichrist.
Uh-huh.
And he gives life unto the image of the beast.
That's right. You may be right. You know what you're talking about. Tom, you've got a text for us. What do you have?
We do, from Jeffrey in Boston. George, do you have anything positive you can tell us about the current two candidates? Anything at all?
Well,
I like this one.
Let me tell you something. First of all, you got to give Donald Trump credit for getting as far as he has. Mm-hmm. And you've got to give Hillary credit for getting as far as she has. People are voting for them, and they're voting for them in droves. If Donald seems to have calmed down a little bit from his initial primary days, he doesn't seem to be, you know, as obnoxious as he was. And I think some of the Republicans who aren't rallying around him are making a mistake, because he is the candidate, and they should push to get him to win. Or you're going to get Hillary to win if you don't if you're not a Hillary fan. Now, in terms of her, Mama told me if you can't say anything nice about somebody, don't say it at all. So I'm going to leave it as that.
Enough said.
You've got two more texts for us next hour. Okay?
We do.
Next up, Linda's in Illinois. Hello, Linda. Good morning to you.
Hey there. That is funny. Mama told you.
Mama told me.
Well, it's true though. I got a couple, three things here.
Okay.
Okay, one, I don't understand what's going on in this world because people are angry.
Big time.
They're hateful. They're angry. I live in an apartment complex, and the lady that lives upstairs, her brother passed away, and I felt bad for her. because she was close to him. So I mentioned everybody in here about a sympathy card and everybody signing it. I got no response. So I said, the heck with y'all. So I wrote my own saying in the sympathy card and gave it to her that way. If you don't want to be involved in it, that's not my problem. Okay, number two. If Tommy, when I get done here, could give me your fax number, I have a poem about our police department.
Well, email it to me. Or is it all printed up? It's all printed up. You can't scan it in?
No, because my computer went haywire and I don't have one now.
Okay.
So I'd have to fax it to you.
All right.
Now, number three. I was telling Tommy I work for an organization. And picture this, two streets parallel. And in between, there were storefronts on them streets. And in between, there was an alley in the back. So I used to walk out there during a break time and have a smoke or something. And there was always three guys, very bummy looking, you know, homeless, sitting on these concrete steps. And I would go out there, and they would all say, hey, you know, you got one for us. So I'd just walk over and give them the whole pack. They were Vietnam vets. And you could tell that they had been through a lot. Well, one day I stopped at Dunkin' Donuts, and I picked up a bunch of donuts for the whole office.
Oh, that's nice.
And I took some to them.
Were they appreciative?
Oh, very.
Good.
Oh, no, just wait. I came back in, and my supervisor, which was a man about 40 years old, come up to me and told me I was no longer allowed to talk to them or give them anything.
What?
Yes.
Why? Because he didn't want them hanging around, or what?
Well, they were there every day anyway.
He didn't want you to encourage him, did he?
I don't know what his deal was. Jeez. Well, I didn't stay there too long after that. I quit.
What a bitter boss. Who wants to work for a guy like that?
I didn't, and I'm not like that. I'm very tender-hearted, okay? Okay, next question, and then I'll get off.
Okay. And then I'll put you on hold.
Oh, we're going to a break? Yeah.
No. You want to give Tom, you need some information, you said.
Yeah, but I want, yeah. But I want to tell you this.
All right.
I have some stuff, and I hate the idea of these guys in the military overseas. My granddaughter's boyfriend, he's in the military, and he's gone now. And I have some stuff that I would like to pack up in a box, mail it to the guys overseas. And I'm talking non-perishable food items that they would normally never get, like M&Ms and things like this.
Yeah, will they accept that stuff?
They do at Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess they do. I don't know. I don't know what the protocol is.
How do I do this if I wanted to do it?
I would call the Veterans Association somewhere.
Oh, yes. I never thought of them.
Yeah, call one of your VA offices. And Tom's got some information for you, too. So he's going to give you an address. You can mail me the poem, if you would. That'll help you, okay? We share a fax, and you know, it's busy all the time with stuff. But we'll be able to get that to you. Tom in the Bronx. Good morning, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey.
I'd like to say the heroin addiction in the United States. I don't know whether you make a point. Do you remember there was an animation years ago called Quick Draw McGraw?
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. Now, did you watch that very carefully?
I do. Now, don't ask me to remember it,
well,
but I did.
What it was supposed to be a horse on the Mexican border with a little burro, running around with a burro. And if you watched it closely, Quick Draw McGraw at times used to go into a bunkhouse, and if you looked at it close, he was consuming drugs. They were advertising drugs right over TV. In other words, that was the height of America's tobacco era, where people were smoking like crazy and all, and adults didn't connect with this animation of this horse sniffing drugs, because if you look at it carefully, the horse was actually floating through the air, getting a high and coming down and having a dumb look on its face.
No, I remember. Now, do you remember the name of the little burl that was with him?
Well, Baba Louie.
That's it. Very good.
Yeah. But anyway, I'd like to say, too, that when you think it over, they were like they were advertising drugs right over the TV. In other words, the individuals that put out that animation obviously at that time needed...
It was Hanna-Barbera.
But they needed money, probably seed money. They used to do Tom and Jerry, the characters Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
I think were promoting, like, kids to go into the army.
They might have been. There might have been some hidden messages there.
There was hidden things in there. It was subliminal language. Subliminal. That's the word.
Yep.
And when you think it over, they got away from that animation, I think, as fast as they could. They might have started to get complaints about it, but it was an era that they just got away with that stuff. They couldn't put that thing like that on today and get away with it. There's too many people.
People would catch them.
Too easy. They would be caught too easy doing that.
That's a good point. Tom, we're at the break, but we're going to come back with more Open Lines in just a moment on Coast to Coast. Another full hour to go. Then I'll tell you what's in store next week and tonight and tomorrow, because it's not over. And we are now, because it's July 20th, it is the anniversary. Let's see, 1969 is when we landed. That's 42 years, right? 42 years. Yeah, 42. 47 years. That's right, 47-year anniversary. Wow. We'll be back.